Claire went by to see Yvette on the way to church tonight. She was concerned about the fact that hadn't been able to get in touch with her. Said she is sick, mouth, ears, and two other things, can't eat. Her phone is out of commission, and she can't make calls, and sometimes can't get calls. So we need to remember Yvette in our prayers. We'll be discussing the deity of Jesus. As I thought about this, I thought I should have called it Jesus is God, because some people don't know what deity would refer to. And since we have it on our sign out there, I thought that might have been a better title for it for people to understand. But that's what we're going to be discussing tonight. Jesus is God. And that's a deity is God, a God. Many in the religious world called Christianity do not accept the fact that Jesus was God on the earth. And so that is concerning to us, because as we'll see, the scriptures teach that. It's not unusual for denominations to go awry of the teaching of the scriptures and teach things that are contrary to what the scriptures teach. But this is a very serious one here that we need to deal with. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and those who reject the idea of the Trinity or the Godhead or three in one, as sometimes called the oneness doctrine, do not believe Jesus was God or equal to God. And so we're going to be looking at what the Bible actually teaches on the deity of Jesus tonight. First of all, we see Jesus is called God and never denies it. There are those that say, oh, Jesus was a good man, he was a prophet, but he wasn't God. But if he is called God and doesn't deny it, he's not a good man. And he's definitely not a prophet of God. And so you can't have it both ways. In John 1, 1 through 3, we read, in the beginning was the Word. This is in the beginning of creation. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So in the beginning, Jesus was there with God. Note that Jesus is the Word. We're going to see that later. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So in the beginning, God, you remember, God said, let there be light. That's the Word of God. So he is the agent of creation, the Word of God. When it was spoken, then it came into being. That was Jesus. Jesus made everything that was made. There's nothing made that Jesus did not make. So he is the agent of creation. He was there in the beginning with God. And so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Those people who deny the deity of Jesus have a problem with that scripture, because they can't deal with the fact that it simply says he was God. And so some of them, like Jehovah's Witness, insert a before that in their translation and say he was a God. A little God, little g, not a big g, like God the Father. And so Jesus is called God. He never denies it. In John 20, verse 28, Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And so Thomas called him my God. And Jesus didn't deny it. And the fact that he never denies it when someone calls him God is significant. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, we're told, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That one gives those people a problem too, because this is talking about Jesus, and he's going to be called Everlasting Father. He's going to be called the same thing God the Father is called. And so they have a problem with that. In 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so here he is referred to as God. And 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And so Jesus is the true God and eternal life. And so many people have a problem with the concept of the Trinity, and understandably so. And I feel like the best example of it is water. Water can come in three forms, a gas, liquid, and solid. It's all water, but it comes in three different forms. And so God is one. He is comes in three different forms, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so we're looking particularly at Jesus here in this situation. Romans 9:5, of whom are the fathers and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all and eternally blessed God. Amen. So Jesus Christ is over all, eternally blessed God. And so he is referred to as God. Colossians 2, verse 9, for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Godhead is used to refer to that group that makes up God. In the beginning, it said, God said, let us, plural, make God, make man in our own image. And so people today want to make God in our image and make him look like man and treat him like a man. But he was with God in the beginning, and so that us in Genesis 1 is referring to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were all involved in the creation at that time. Matthew 1:23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, which they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And so Jesus was going to be called God with us. While he was on earth, he was God with them. And so many of these scriptures pointed out very clearly that Jesus is God. In Hebrews 1, verses 8 through 9, but to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, to the Son, he says that, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And so he is referred to as God, and God has anointed him with the oil of gladness more than his companions, referring to Jesus as God. And so there are so many scriptures like this that refer to Jesus as God, and when it was in his presence, he never denied that. But these scriptures clearly point that he is God. Now we're going to look at the fact that Jesus makes himself equal to God and never denies the charge. And many times when he makes himself equal with God, they try to kill him. The Pharisees try to kill him because they think he's blaspheming by claiming to be equal to God. In John 10:33, the Jews answered him saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you being man, make yourself God. Now, if they were about to stone him for making himself out as God, been a perfect opportunity for Jesus to say, no, I'm not God. But he didn't deny that. And they were going to stone him because he made himself out to be God. John 5:18. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So they said him calling God his Father made himself equal with God. As the Son of God, he would be equal to God. They recognized that. And so they sought to kill him. And again, perfect opportunity for him to get out of that and say, no, I'm not God. But he never denied it. John 8, 58 and 59, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now we're going to look at this again, but when he said, before Abraham was, I am, they recognized that he was calling himself God when he said, I am. And we're going to look at that later and see the significance of that. But he made himself equal to God, and they tried to kill him each time that happened. Then we see that Jesus is worshiped and never rejected. Every time someone attempted to worship an apostle or a prophet, they said, no, do not do that. I'm just a man. But Jesus didn't do that when people worshiped him. Matthew 4:10, then Jesus said to him, away from you, Satan, with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And so Jesus stated that you only bow down to, you only serve God, the Lord your God. In Acts 10, verses 25 and 26, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And so Peter rejected the worship of man. It's interesting that in the Catholic Church, they claim Peter was the first pope. And so the pope is worshiped today. So they don't follow suit with following what Peter said, that, you know, don't worship me, I'm just a man. He is considered to be God on his throne. When he speaks from his throne, he is God speaking. And far from what Peter said, that he was just a man. Wouldn't allow himself to be worshiped. Matthew 14:33, then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. He didn't say, oh, stand up, don't worship me, I'm just a man. He didn't reject the worship as others did. Hebrews 1:6, but when he said, again, brings forth into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. So the angels were supposed to worship Jesus when he came into the world, and they did. And so Jesus is worshiped, and he never rejected that worship and never tried to keep people from worshiping him as other godly men did. And they said, no, I'm just a man. You don't do that. And there are other examples of people rejecting the worship that we don't have time to cover tonight. But those suffice to show the example of those who rejected worship from man, saying that they're just a man like they are, and they shouldn't be worshipped. Next, we see that God is the creator, yet Jesus created all things. We alluded to this in the first statement. Colossians 1, 15 through 17, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Now that's very clear, isn't it? That Jesus created everything in heaven and in earth. The Jehovah's Witness, in their translation of the Bible, know what they do. They insert an other. And he is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation, for by him all other things were created. And that's nowhere can they find justification for saying other things. The scriptures clearly say all things. And then when it says all things were created through him, they insert again, all other things were created through him. And he is before all other things. And in him all other things consist, trying to say that except for him, that all other things, that he created everything except himself, because they consider him to be a created being, not eternal, not God. John 1:3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So we call God the creator, and yet the New Testament points out that Jesus is the creator. And as I mentioned earlier, he is the agent of creation. God spoke. That's the word of God. And it came into being. So Jesus brought it into being. Hebrews 1:1-2, God, who at various times, in various ways, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. And so the worlds were made through Jesus. Jesus was the agent of creation. Now, it'd be difficult for someone to come up with that in the first century to fit in with what happened on the first day of creation. And so many things, it says, let us. So someone was there besides God the Father at the creation. He said, us. And since we see Jesus was in the beginning with God and was God, then there was Jesus with him. And he was God. And so we understand that. But others reject the fact that he made the world. He is God the creator, the agent of creation. And so that's a problem to them. But he is God in the flesh. Now, Jesus claimed equality with God. In John 10:30, he says, I and the Father are one. They are the same. John 12:45, he says, he who sees me sees him who sent me. So when you see me, you see the Father. They're the same. And we may have a problem understanding that. But we can't deny what he said. John 14:7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him, because you've known me and you've seen me. So when you see me, you've seen the Father. He is equal with God, the same as God. In Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged all sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he is the express image of God. And so he was equal with God. He claimed to be equal with God in so many different ways. In Philippians 2:5-9, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he existed in the form of God. He was God. Did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation when he came to earth, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also was highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. And so he was equal with God. And he came to this earth and gave up. And he talks about him emptying himself, the one translation says. He gave up his godliness while he was on the earth. And he suffered. He suffered pain like we do. He was tempted like we are, and yet without sin. And so he could not have been totally God here and not totally man to be able to experience what we experience and be tempted like we are and yet without sin. And so he gave up something. He gave up the ability not to be harmed. And he gave that up. And he gave up all of the things that were his godly characteristics. He gave that up and became a man, taking the form of a bondservant. And so he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God. So as we think about the deity of Jesus, there's some things we need to consider. Jesus made it very clear that he was equal to God, that unless we accept that fact, we will die in our sins. So that's why it's so important for us to accept the fact that Jesus is God. Because as we're going to look at, he says, if you don't believe that, you're going to die in your sins. He is in italics, meaning it was not in the original, but was added by the translators. When Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And so that statement that unless you believe that I am in italics is he, then it changes that meaning. And when he said, I am, the Pharisees knew what he meant when he said, I am, because that's what in Exodus 3:14 God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. So the religious leaders knew very well what Jesus meant when he said, I am. He was making himself equal to God. John 8:58-59, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So before Abraham was, I am. I existed. So he's saying he is eternal. He's saying that he is the one who Moses was told to tell the people sent, who sent him, I am sent you. And when he said, I am, they recognized he was saying he was God. Now notice what this says. John 8:19-24. Then they said to him, where is your father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you had known me, you would have known my father also. So again, he's saying, were the same. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Notice the he is in italics. It's not in the original language. So what he was really saying was, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And so that's the significant thing about this, and the fact that if we don't believe that Jesus is God, we're going to die in our sin. We talk many times about him being the Son of God, which is the same thing as saying he is equal with God, as the Pharisees understood, that he made himself to be God when he said, I am the Son of God. And so Jesus is God. And there are so many places that give us that and makes it so understandable to us in so many ways that Jesus is God. And you have to twist the scriptures, as some people do, in order to get away from that. And so many people in the religious world want to conform God to their image, and so they twist the scriptures to make it what they want it to be. But it's so important for us to understand what the scriptures are really saying. The reason we use a reputable translation, and we don't use a translation put out by a particular religious group like Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons and expect it to be totally true and translated accurately, because they're trying to twist it into their image of the way they want God to be and what they want Jesus to be and everything. So we must believe that he is God. And so Jesus came so that we might have life and have life eternal. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so if you're not in Christ, you have not been baptized into Christ, You have not repented of your sins. You have not confessed that Jesus is the Son of God or God in the flesh. Then you're still lost and outside of Christ. But he doesn't want you to be, and that's the reason he set up that pattern by which you can be saved. Repent, confess, and be baptized. And you will be added to the family of God. You will have your sins all washed out, all of your past sins. God will never bring those up again. You don't have to worry about those. They're gone. All you have to worry about is what you may do after your baptism. And then if you sin, you simply repent and confess that. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse you of that sin also. And so if there's any way we can help anyone here or anyone online to do either of those things that they might need to do to get their life right with God, to be assured of that home in heaven, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.
The Lord's Supper has been left prepared this evening for those who cannot partake of it this morning. If you would, turn your pages to page 310. Songbooks to page 310. We'll sing the first verse, and if you would, come have a seat on the front pew while we sing the first verse, you will be served. We all numbered. Let us sing.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory Father, we're thankful for this, the fruit of the vine, the things of our remembrance, the blood that was shed upon the cross.
that he suffered, that he died, that he bled, and that his sins washed away our sins. And we are again thankful for his willingness to go to the cross on our behalf, to be a perfect sacrifice, and the love that's in him there. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Awesome, the first day of the week, we are going to give it to the pastor. We'll do that now as we get going to Lord's Prayer. Our Lord, we are thankful for all we have in this life. We have been abundantly blessed with many things, spiritually, but also physically. As each has prospered, may they have given thought to this moment. May they now give back as they have prospered, and may you bless it towards the work that needs to be done here, abroad. And may you bless it in great wisdom and increasing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank everybody for coming out this evening. Those for you joining us online. Last song this evening is going to come from page 790. Page 790. Let's all stand if you're able to. Sing the first, second, and last stanzas, which after will be dismissed in prayer. 790. We all numbered. Let us sing.